Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak your word again and to teach your word. Father, I ask that you would help me by the power of your Holy Spirit to be clear. And Father, I ask that all of us would hear you as your word is open to us, that our lives might be changed, that we might live for you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Might help if I turn my thing on, perhaps. There we go, I think. I'd like you to take just a moment to think of the time when you would say that you became a Christian. Now, for some, it may go back to your mother's knee. For some, it might go to an evangelistic event. For some, it might be a service in church, like a confirmation service. For some, it might be with a friend who prayed a prayer with you. Doesn't matter where it happened, but just think of that moment when you would say that you became a Christian. I just want to ask, what happened? Well, what happened was that you prayed a prayer of surrender and commitment to Jesus. What was happening spiritually in that moment? For that, I'd like you to take your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. It's on page 197 in the church Bibles. We will come back to Psalm 59 in just a bit, but we're going to begin with Colossians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. Have you all got it in front of you? Because we're going to read it together. So Colossians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. So let's read together. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been transferred in the spiritual realm from the power of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. And we do that simply by submitting to him, surrendering to him. Lord, I've gone wrong. I'm a sinner. Thank you that Jesus died for me. Please help me to live your way. Please fill me with your spirit that I might live differently. That is what happens when we become Christians. What were the consequences of that? Well, of course, there are far too many to mention, and especially in a short sermon like today's. But one consequence of that moment of transfer is that the ruler of this world, as Jesus describes Satan in John 14, the ruler of this world is now at war with us. In the spiritual realm, we have left the power of darkness. That is, we have refused to allow the ruler of this world to rule over us. And that ruler hates that. If we had continued quietly under his rule, then he wouldn't have needed to do anything further. It's enough that we just continue in the darkness without God, heading for an existence without God in our eternity. But we have transferred our allegiance from Satan to Jesus. So now a state of war exists against us. Now, I know that humanly speaking, we hate the idea of being at war. We hate the idea that we have that struggle and battle going on all the time. We'd prefer that it was not so. But tough. It is how it is spiritually. And we need to learn to live as people who are at war. At 11:15 on Sunday, 3rd of September, 1939, the Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain made a famous address to the people of England on the radio, and he told them, "We are at war with Germany." And every moment of every day until May 1945, this country was at war with Germany. There would have been many moments when people would have thought, "I wish it wasn't so, I wish it wasn't true, I wish it wasn't happening, it's too horrible," all of that stuff. Doesn't change anything. This country was at war with Germany. And war is frequently hard, with casualties and struggles and battles. Now, yes, just as we know the outcome of the Second World War, they didn't at the time, but we do now. We know that ultimately victory is ours because Jesus won decisively on the cross at Calvary. But in the short term, in the immediate term, we are at war because the enemy is at war with us. Let's turn back to Psalm 59. I can't remember if in the church Bibles you've got the little bit of the heading that I have in my Bible. Psalm 59 is described as a prayer for deliverance from enemies. And it's described as a prayer of David when Saul ordered his house to be watched in order to kill him. David, if you remember, had done nothing wrong. Saul had just become insanely jealous, and he was trying to kill David. So David is writing about physical enemies who are prowling around out to get him. It's completely horrible and unfair. It's his constant experience. That's what's happening to him. He is, for no fault of his own, at war. People are making war against him. That is his situation. He'd much rather it wasn't happening, but it is happening. Now, in the New Testament, Christians understand that our enemies are not the people in front of us who are opposed to us. Our enemies are the spiritual things behind the physical people who are in front of us. Our enemies are spiritual, and there are spiritual forces behind the struggles that we have. Our health issues, for example, but our financial issues, our relationship issues, all sorts of the struggles that we have that are part of life, they're part of the battle the enemy is using. They are spiritual. So we're not hating the people who are coming against us. We must never do that. But we are to hate and fight the spiritual things that are behind our enemies and our struggles. And so my situation in the last few weeks, I've learnt again about the spiritual battle. Sickness is something that is never from God. There is no cancer in heaven, is a great phrase. There is no cancer in heaven. There is no death. There are no tears. There is no mourning with a U. There is no cancer in heaven. The sickness is not something that is of God. But it is still a fight. It's been a tough time. It continues to be a tough time. I was told this morning that my voice is half an octave higher than usual. And that's just something that how it happens to be this morning. I'm just grateful to God that I can speak quite clearly. So what is David's response to his dreadful, unfair situation with his enemies prowling around the city? Each evening they come back howling like dogs, growling about the city. That's his experience. It will be similar to our experience of the struggles that we face. Things will come back and back and back, and we will be tempted to do what? Give up? Of course we will. What does David actually do? Well, look at the verses right at the end of the psalm. 16 and 17. David has confident praise to God. "But I will sing of your might. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been a fortress for me and a refuge on the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the Lord who shows me steadfast love. He will praise God. Despite the fact that there are all these horrible things happening to him, he will praise God. And he will go on praising God. And that, again, is something that I have learned. That in the midst of whatever the trouble is, the financial worry, the health issue, the worries about your children, the struggles at work, the lack of employment, whatever it is that is the thing that is encouraging you to get and just feel totally depressed again, to forget that you're a Christian, to forget that you're on the winning side. The secret is to continue to praise God. Look again for a moment at the service leaflet and look at the welcome and introduction. Second line, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. God has claimed us as his own. He has brought us out of darkness. He has made us light to the world. He's done the action of taking us out of darkness, and he's now transformed us so that we become light to the world ourselves. Other people seeing us begin to recognize who Jesus is. That is what he has done. Those things are true. Jesus is raised from the dead. Whether our situation is dire or whether our situation is wonderful, it is still true. And the reason that Jesus came to the cross, it was out of love, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is the truth. That is the thing for which we praise God. And so right the way through Psalm 59, when David is talking about steadfast love, he would have looked back to the events of the Exodus. He would have looked back to events in his own life. We as Christians look back to the much greater exodus from sin that was achieved at the cross. We are Easter people always. And we praise God for that, even in the midst of things being hard and difficult. So the first response of David is to praise. And the second response of David is his continued prayer to God to defeat David's enemies, with all the glory going to God himself. So you'll see verse 1 and 2, deliver me, deliver me. And then explaining what the problem is, rise yourself, come to my help. He's really battling with God. He's sort of pleading with God. He's almost kicking God to get going. He doesn't understand why God is so slow in something. Perfectly reasonable for us to pray in that sort of way. But it's a continued prayer that God will act to defeat David's enemies in a way that all the glory goes to God. Look with me at verse 13. Consume them in wrath. Consume them until they are no more. Then it will be known to the ends of the earth that God rules over Jacob. Our concern always is that everybody knows that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. And it doesn't matter whether someone says that they're another faith, it doesn't matter whether someone says they've got no faith, that they can't know, all of that stuff. We need to be praying that people's eyes are opened, their ears are unblocked, and they come to see what is the truth, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. So in relation to all of this, what's our action? Well, first of all, to have no surprise that we have struggles. We want everything to be heaven. Of course we do. We'd love to be in heaven now. No more struggles, no more crying, no more pain, no more aches and pains, no more relationship difficulties, whatever it is. But that's for heaven, not for now. The ruler of this world is powerful. And he is at war with us, and we continue to live in his world. We are light in a world of darkness. The darkness tries to squash us. We are people who are living in a fallen world. We're told to be in the world, but not of the world. it's going to be difficult for us. So we're not to be surprised at the struggles that come, whatever struggles they are, whether they're sickness issues or any other issues that we have. Don't be surprised. Second, as action to take, is to continue to praise. To praise for the fact that we have a God who loves us. To trust that he's there. Sometimes it won't feel like that. In the midst of feeling absolutely shattered this last week, difficult to remember that for me. And then to continue to pray. And our prayer is, of course, it's for deliverance here, just as we want to pray about the issues that are facing us, pray for protection particularly, so that the issues don't trouble us in the first place, pray for deliverance from them. But the prayer that we really need is, Lord, what do you want me to do for you today so that you get the glory? In the midst of the problem that you're facing, whatever it is, do you see how it turns everything upside down? If you refuse to be squashed by the problem and you turn around and say, Lord, I praise you. What do you want me to do for you today so that you get the glory? Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we acknowledge that in a fallen world where we live, there is a battle on all the time. We thank you for your protection. That's often we don't see that battle because you have protected us from it. Father, in the midst of the struggles that face us and the things that are difficult, we ask that you would help us to retain trust, not to be blown over by the fact that there is a trouble and things facing us. We ask that you'd help us above all to be people who continue to praise you for who you are, for what you've done, for your steadfast love. And then, Father, we pray that you'd help us to be people who pray and in the midst of our troubles say again, Lord, what do you want me to do for you today so that you get the glory? And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.